tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Chef and the Fat Man, why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back, Chef and the Fat Man, live from New Orleans, baby. Let's hear it. Yes. They didn't even get to try any of the home distillation, and they are still happy people. We've got ladies from Houston, Texas. We've got ladies from New Orleans. We got a lady from L.A. Look at that. And before we get started, you know how cool this is? Look right across the street. What does that sign say right across the street there, L.A.?
What?
Mr. B's. Mr. B's Bistro, one of the hottest. And how about this? Cindy Brennan is in the house.
Say hi.
Hi, happy Mardi Gras.
When a Brennan wishes you happy Mardi Gras, you are going to have a happy Mardi Gras. My friends, before we get started, I got to tell you, November 13th in this town, we had a street party out in front. It was called Party for the Troops. It was our intention with the Hotel Monteleone to raise money to buy Christmas trees and turkeys for enlisted families whose spouses were overseas and they couldn't afford the little things. Cindy Brennan, Mr. B's, Chad Richardson, and the Cuisine Creole Group provided some of the greatest chefs in the city that gave the food away, and all the money that was raised helped to buy 250 trees and turkeys for our dearly loved troops who are away for the holidays. Thank you, Cindy Brennan.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for always coming. We love you. You know that.
So I actually got to speak on her behalf, and then I was asked to leave.
Happy Mardi Gras. As always, we love you coming to New Orleans, and we appreciate everything you do.
So. Ladies and gentlemen, Cindy Brennan. God, what a legend. Chef Eric, you've got another legend. Take it away, baby.
All right, you got it. So, you know, I got to tell you something, though. Seeing Cindy Brennan, I love Mr. B's. It's one of my favorite restaurants, so I'm a little bit... befuddled and flummoxed here. Anyway, so, all right, back to Chef Chad. You're not nearly as pretty as Cindy Brennan. But, so, do tell. We've got, so far, we did our Creole mustard, and we did the coriander, the toasted coriander and cumin on the rub, and sort of let that sit. And then you pan fried it, basically.
We added a little black and seasoning to them. We pan fried the meat. We got the meat to a good, nice, medium, mid-rare, depending on how you like it. You can have it any way you like it. And then we let it rest.
You let it rest so that the juices don't end up on the cutting board instead of the meat. And then you slice it nicely on the bias.
Slice them nicely on the bias against the grain, so okay. It makes it beautiful, wonderful.
And why is it important to do it against the grain?
So it's not chewy.
Right.
You do it against the grain, so it just melts in your mouth.
It just falls apart, and it certainly does. All right, so then, while you were doing that, because I'm not doing anything, while you were doing that, you did the mashed potatoes. Now, your mashed potatoes, I mean, people use, they may use cream, they may use some cheese. But
typically, what everybody does in New Orleans and everywhere that I've worked, heavy cream, milk, garlic, cheese.
Right.
That's typically the recipe. I use cream cheese in mine.
So cream cheese.
I use a little bit of milk, a little bit of heavy cream, and then a cream cheese kind of brings in that depth of just richness that kind of takes it to the next level.
Milk, heavy cream, and cream cheese.
A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, and garlic.
Yeah, I think those are good ingredients.
It's just gooey.
Yeah.
You know when it gets cold and you can't pick it up?
Right.
It's good stuff.
Perfect.
When it's warm.
That is what we affectionately refer to at Chef and a Fat Man as the fifth food group.
Yes.
Fat?
Yes.
Fat.
Okay, good. So, all right, then.
So from this point, all we have left to do, we have our mashed our cream cheese mashed potatoes.
Right.
We have our beautiful steaks resting. We've already sliced them. We have a sauce and maybe a little garnish to do on top of it. So we're going to take those same spices that we used,
okay,
the toasted cumin, coriander, salt and pepper. We're going to add that into the pot. The pot is on a very, very low heat, so it's just real quick going to smoke them back up.
And it's not only low heat, but you've got nothing in the pan other
nothing at all in the pan. They've already been toasted, so you can instantaneously smell it.
Yep.
And then I'm not going to use my Turbo Dog that I'm drinking, but I'm going to use the Turbo Dog that I'm not supposed to drink.
Tasting.
Okay.
Always tasting.
It's very important.
That's right.
To taste the
very important. You got to know what you're working with. And we're just going to add that Turbo Dog, which is made right north of the lake in Abita. We're going to add that Turbo Dog to it.
We're going to set off these sprinklers any old time now. Okay.
That's all right.
So you just got Turbo Dog and the spices in there.
Turbo Dog and spices.
Excellent.
Now, Turbo Dog has a little bit of bitterness to it once it gets cooked down. So to counteract that, you have the cream cheese and the mashed potatoes. You have the mustard and whatnot over here in the steak. And then we're going to add some butter to it. But first, we're going to do our veal gloss.
All right. So veal gloss.
We're going to let that come down just a little bit. Once it boils, the alcohol is technically cooked out. And
we're not really concerned about the alcohol being cooked out
today. No, not at this point, no. Not at this point.
Hey, Chef! Right.
Sir!
I got something for you.
A girl from L.A.?
No. Ma'am, could you please tell me your full name?
Pam Richardson.
Pam Richardson.
We're probably related.
Lisa Richardson,
you're not my sister. You don't look like her, but probably still related. How are y'all?
They're
doing well.
All these Richardsons. I've got another Richardson waiting in the wings.
Keith?
Multi award winner from Memphis in Maine, baby. The toughest barbecue contest in the world, Chef Eric.
Absolutely.
We're taking over.
Absolutely. And I think... you know, we were going to bring him on now, but I think we got to wait because I want to make sure we got enough time to talk about that fantastic contest. And we also got to talk about our demi-glace that we, or I'm sorry, our veal glace that we've got in the pan here real quick.
The girls from Houston have said if they do not get a sample that they are going to force me to put my thong on and walk around the bar.
Well, rest assured, I have a lot of meat up here.
I guarantee you that not one of those women said that.
Didn't I tell you, ladies, I guaranteed you'd get fed.
You may have misunderstood. They said, if you don't, then never mind.
Yeah.
So anyway.
You've been sampling too much, Chef Eric.
No, right. So in just real quick, tell me what is in the veal gloss.
Well, basically what we do is we have veal bones and then the mirepoix, the carrots, celery, onions, and we cook that overnight. And when we cook that overnight, we let that simmer almost where it's not even boiling. Just enough heat, just enough to talk dirty to it. We let that simmer overnight, and it extracts all those flavors from the marrow, from the bones, from the vegetables. And we let that go, and it's just pure beef flavor, or veal flavor.
The good news in this recipe is you actually can find markets where you can find this ready to go, so you don't have to create the glossy yourself.
Exactly. Right now, there's a ton of markets that actually take that veal to almost a jelly.
Right.
And when it gets to that jelly, you just take it home, you add a little water, and you've saved yourself 12, 18 hours.
Right. So then we're just going to keep reducing this down or just heating it up a little bit?
We're basically done at this point. We are going to... I added a little bit more beer for the ladies from Houston. we're going to add a little bit more
seasoning. I don't think we have to add more beer for them.
No, more beer.
I think they may be okay.
The alcohol was cooked off.
Sure it is.
We added a little bit more beer for the Richardsons.
There we go.
Yes.
Because they always need more.
It's just a family.
And at this point, the only thing I want to do is a garnish for the steak. The steak's done. The mashed potatoes are done. And this is the quickest garnish in the world. We take a little bit of oil,
And let's
a little bit of garlic.
Tell them what you're going to do. Oil,
little
garlic.
Bit of garlic, little bit of oil, and some fresh spinach. We turn the heat. You get a hot pan. Turn the heat off. You put the spinach in the pan. You toss, salt and pepper. Done.
It wilts you done. All right, Kevin.
Well, I tell you what. Toss. And we'll be right back. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating the good life. There's only one place on earth that is celebrating the good life today. And that's here in the French Quarter at the Hotel Monteleone at the Carousel Bar, Mardi Gras 2012, with King Arthur and Queen Guinevere, the 35th. The crew of King Arthur is in the house, shaking it up and taking it to the streets of Royal, baby. We're talking to Ed Richardson, of course. He is a multi-award winner from Memphis in May.
It became a kind of a pursuit that we couldn't get away from. And so it took us, I think, 6 years. We talked about this over beers before, but it took 6 years to take what was an original rub and kind of dial it in for competition. And our rub became the base for our sauces that became the kind of foundation for all of the success we've had there.
Tell everybody how many awards you've won at Memphis in May and in what categories.
We have 4 first places over the years in ribs and mustard sauce and vinegar sauce and then again in mustard sauce. Typically there are anywhere between 300 teams and 289 teams and 312 teams. It differs year to year. And
these aren't just ordinary folks who decide to get together for a weekend. These are Tuffy Stones. These are Myron Mixons. These are the toughest competitors in the world. And he's kicking their tail with his sauces and his ribs. Very impressive, sir.
Well, Myron Mixon, the first year we were there, I think it was 98 or 99, we were embedded with the 2 teams that were, I won't say anointed, but they were predicted, heavily favored in Vegas to win the Memphis and May World Barbecue Championship. There is a kind of an ongoing Memphis and May Championship season, if you will, and not unlike leading up to the NASCAR Championship on the pork side of things. And Myron and a guy named Gary Kirst from just south of Atlanta. His team is called Pick Pound the Kappa, the pork fraternity. We were embedded with those 2 teams and had an opportunity to kind of learn what they were going to do on the whole hog circuit. And it turned out neither one of those 2 guys won that year, but each of those guys have subsequently won the grand championship at Memphis in May. And Myron Mixon is he has become the public face of competition barbecue in the world. And since then the first time I ever met Myron, he said, "I want you to try this." He reached into the pig, he pulled out from what I would later found out was what would become a slab of bacon. He handed it to me. He said, "Hey, this is what we call the ice cream of the pig." And changed my life, put me on that barbecue trail. We're the only team, I think, Barefoot in the Pork, that ever won six times in a row on the grand stage, 6 years in a row to win. And every time I get up there, I thank Myron and Gary for the inspiration that started the whole thing.
All right, how would you like this? How many like to barbecue at home? How many would like a recipe from a world champion that you can take home and call your own and make it home and blow your friends out of the water? Would you share us a recipe?
I'd want one.
Now, Ed, I know you're not going to give up the recipe, but give us a good basic mustard recipe, mustard sauce that people can make at home.
This is, as most of you know, anything that happens in a kitchen is family-based and flavor-based, and It's a personal passion that leads you to whatever you're going to cook. And if you love it, you're going to do it over and over, and you're going to share it with your friends and family. There are a couple of guys, 3 people who have really influenced ours, and I'll share what I can. And a lot of it is secretive. Eric knows this. It's like you can't share much. But our team, Rob, started with a guy named Claude Mann. He was the chef for years on Dinner and a Movie for TBS, and he's an old buddy of mine. And he came up with what was a, kind of a baseline rub. And at the time, we didn't understand what it would take to create a mustard sauce, vinegar sauce, tomato sauce. But we took that kind of original recipe, and we crafted it for what we like person, just individually. Another guy named Ken Fakke, he's from Houma. He came on board a couple of years ago, and his recipes are what landed us with our very first mustard and vinegar sauce. And he moved on, and we I think we're probably the only team that ever won a world championship and then stepped away from that recipe and showed back up within the next 2 years and won again in the same category. Diane, my friend at Memphis and May, tells me that's never happened before. But it's all about great friends and people you love like Kenneth and Claude who start that recipe. And it's about evolving it for what you want. Paula Deen always says, look, there's 1,000 recipes out there for gravy. But look, make it your own. Maybe you like 2 sticks of butter instead of one. Whatever it takes.
Give us a baseline, basic mustard recipe.
Baseline mustard is, if you're a mustard fan, very first thing is, do you like French's regular or do you like Dijon mustard? And start the base with what you like. From that point forward, you go back to spices that you've believed in your whole life. Black pepper, white pepper. Do you like brown sugar, white sugar? The thing that for us has kind of been the bond that Scott Lindler, who has taken our rub from what Claude originally came up with, and Lindler has taken it really to the next level, and why we've had success is Scott's blend. Everything he's ever cooked in his life, whether it's bacon or gravy or a peanut butter sandwich, he puts cinnamon in it. And it's cinnamon is the thing. Cinnamon is the one thing that's always been a secret ingredient for us. When it comes to spices, we always prefer to grind them ourselves. We love fresh versus anything you can get processed or off the shelf. And when it comes, you know, little things like paprika, great, but we like Hungarian paprika. It's little things, and it's dialing it in. And what I always tell people is this. The nicest person in the world with the best smoker in the world cannot cook the best rib in the world in 12 minutes.
So we take yellow or brown mustard. Your
absolutely.
Choice.
Absolutely.
You have to have an acid.
Absolutely.
Now, do you prefer white or apple cider vinegar?
I prefer organic apple cider.
Oh, now stop
it. And when you're in Memphis for the World Championship, go to Schnucks. It's on Union Avenue. That is absolutely a secret part of our recipe that I'm unveiling here today.
Now, would you put cinnamon in it?
Period.
Okay.
Yes.
So you got cinnamon, white pepper, or black pepper, mustard, yellow or brown. How much the proportion?
Sugar and paprika. Right?
Sugar, paprika.
Hungarian
that's
paprika.
A good basic
yep.
sauce. What are the proportions? Acid to the ingredients.
I personally like a little burn on the back end. We compete around the world. We're world champions. We once we started winning with 4 Memphis and May world champions, we get invited to every barbecue championship in the world. Whether it's the Big Pig Jig in Georgia or whether King Silky Sullivan in Memphis brings us to Red Square to cook barbecue, it's always the target is always moving. And so we like to, if we're in Memphis, you would think most judges would prefer a dry rib. That's a misnomer. It doesn't happen that way. You've got to adapt to wherever you are for the people you're cooking for. It's like, you invite people to your home. It's a client who may or may not eat meat, so you cook fish. It's a moving target.
Kevin, he's not going to give us the recipe.
Well, he did. He did. He gave us a good basic mustard recipe.
Right, and I think the whole secret is blend it together the way you like it. What you like, those flavors. You want more sweetness. You want more acid. you know, that's what it's all about.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Richardson, he is the man who has won multiple times from Memphis in May.
It's an honor to be on your show. It's a real treat. We'll look forward to seeing you in Atlanta and at Memphis in May.
Excellent.
We look forward to it. Thank you, Ed. How about that? You got a basic mustard recipe to wow your friends with. Not too shabby. Chef Eric?
Yes, sir.
Chef Chad needs to... These people are dying over here for food.
All right. By the way, did you get any crowd appeal about the last dish? Did we hear anything?
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Where's my microphone?
Here we go. Hold on. Here's the microphone. There you go. How about go to the ladies from Houston there?
All right, ladies in Houston. I warned you all, if we were going to give you something to eat, you're going to have to give us your opinion. Now, be honest, because the chef is a very sensitive man. You're from Houston, so Houston women, no beef. What do you think? What's your name and where are you from, man?
My name's Toby Everett. I'm from Houston, Texas. Fantastic beef, and I love the mashed potatoes as well. Really good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yes, the mashed potatoes were to die for. The whole thing was. Thank you very much.
And your name?
My name is Stephanie.
Stephanie, and your name?
Kim.
Kim, and what do you think, Kim?
I thought the beef was fantastic.
Now, who's the biggest drinker in your group? Your name, ma'am. Now, do you wish you could have tried the 180 proof?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of the beef?
Delicious.
Ladies, you're not exempt over here. Naaman, you're from Houston.
Houston, Andrea Knight.
What'd you think?
Amazing.
I'm Corey, and it was really good. It was delicious.
Really good to amazing. Let's give it up for the Aztec Steak.
Yeah.
When we come back, Chef Eric, we're going to convince Chef Chad to give us one more recipe. Now, for those of you who are staying here and going to be in town, if you would like to find out how you can go over to Pier 424, get reservations, suck up to Vanessa, wherever she is. If Vanessa isn't here, suck up to the chef. Tell him how much you love it, your number, and your party. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating the good life.
Right.
One place on earth to be celebrating this weekend in the heart of the French Quarter in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's always fun in the Big Easy, baby. Chef and a fat man taking it to the streets of Royal. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Hey, listen, if you would like to find out and you would like to see pictures of the current and previous kings and queens of King Arthur, if you would like to see the excitement and the incredible garbs that they get to wear and they partially help design, please go to www.crewofkingarthur.com. www.crewkrewe. Don't be heathens and spell it C-R-E-W. It's K-R-E-W-E, crewofkingarthur.com. Ooh, that's a beautiful shrimp. I'd get a hernia lifting that shrimp. But Chef Eric, speaking of hernias, we're going to get a hernia from this crowd if Chef doesn't get cooking here.
Absolutely.
Quit stroking your shrimp. It's harder.
All right. So, first of all, you know what we haven't talked about is the phenomenal restaurant that Chef Chad is at. So, Chef, tell us about Pier 424.
Okay. Pier 424 is a restaurant on Bourbon Street. It's at the on the 400 block, the old Jazz Emporium building.
Okay.
We took that restaurant, and we are slowly integrating that into the community down here to be a fresh seafood market. We started out as a restaurant and a bar. Actually, two Mardi Gras ago, we started out only as a bar. We pushed forward to be a restaurant. Now I have come on board. I've changed the entire menu.
Yeah, you have.
Through Mardi Gras, we have a very small menu. After Mardi Gras, we are going to actually put a fresh seafood case in the front.
Wow.
So you can, as a local, come in and buy your fresh seafood from us raw.
Okay, so the seafood I'm looking at right now, I mean, I want to get started cooking this, but while we start cooking, why don't you tell me, you know, if I wanted to go over to Pier 424. Who do I have to kill to get a reservation?
You don't have to kill anyone. It's first come, first serve. But if you call forward,
okay,
we do make reservations. We make reservations for the balcony. We make we have a brand new banquet facility upstairs. So if we have a larger group, we can accommodate those up to, I think, about 150 to 200.
Excellent.
Depending on the party.
And I've been up there. I've taken a group up there. It's fantastic. And the last question for you, give us a little bit about your background. Where did you come from?
My background, I actually was born and raised in Louisiana, in the southeast. Right outside of New Orleans is Slidell, Louisiana. I worked for Ralph Ekeku's out of Baton Rouge. Then I went to Shreveport. Then I was a chef at Disney World for
really?
10 years.
Okay. Yes. Wow. Anyone who can work there, that's some chops you've got. So
I worked all over the property at Disney for 10 years, and then I came back home, and now I'm working here.
And good for us, because we've always enjoyed your cooking. So
cool.
Let's finish it up with some great cooking here. What are we making?
All right. This is actually a dish that's on the current menu right now. It's one of the chef... signature dishes. This is the shrimp and makgeu grit. I personally, born and raised here, don't like grits. My mom always tried to force me to make, eat them. And she loved them, whatever. So what I try to do in my elder years is come up with ways to make them a little bit more tasty. Riverfront Restaurant was the chef that I was at
right.
when you first met me.
Right.
We do a jambalaya grit over there.
Yep.
When I went to Pier 424, I decided to do the cream makgeu grits.
And makgeu, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's in makgeu?
Makgeu, I don't think there's a literal translation, but basically it's a cream corn casserole, if
right.
you will. What I do with this is I do tasso ham.
Yep.
I render it down and get it nice and crisp. I have fresh corn. I have cream corn, and I have the real sweet Vidalia onions.
You mean like from Schumann Produce?
That's right,
real
from Schumann
sweet
Produce.
Vidalia onions. And actually, this is a batch that Schumann Produce is putting out from Peru. They're now bringing in the sweet onions, and that's what we've been sent here from Peru. By the way, notice these are not flat onions.
No, they are an incredible, not as round, Gen X, the same as the Vidalia. These were flown in from Schumann for you, Chef.
Thank you.
Peru directly. They slept in the fields 5 days ago.
So we're actually using them in this recipe. Right now you've rendered down that tasso ham. Now other people can use bacon.
You can use bacon, you can use andouille, you can use tasso, you can use any kind of sausage you like, any kind of meat product that you really like, but more of a pork and ham product.
And it's going to render out that
out
fat,
that.
And we got the onions now, they're sauteing in there.
Onions,
what else are we going to be adding?
We're going to sweat them out, then we're going to add some green bell pepper, we're going to add some red bell pepper,
okay.
And we're going to add some green onions, just a few.
Okay, great.
And what I like to use about the green onions is the white part of the green onion, because no one ever knows what to do with it.
Uh-huh.
They use the green part for garnish, so
right.
I like to use the white part. It's got really good flavor.
That's a good tip. And by the way, I said saute the onions, but you're right. You said you're sweating the onions.
Yeah, I want to go at a medium to medium-low heat. I don't want really a whole lot of color.
Right.
I want to extract the flavors into the sauce.
And you want that water out of the onion and
absolutely.
Concentrated flavor of the onion.
Whenever we're making a sauce, we'd prefer to sweat them.
Right.
Whenever we're making a dish, we like to saute and caramelize.
All right. So now tell me what's going to happen next and walk me through it.
In essence, what's happening right now is we are sweating those out, and then we're going to add our fresh corn.
Okay.
Fresh corn goes in. And then we add our cream corn, and that gives it that creaminess. Now, if I was making makgeu at home, I wouldn't use cream corn at all. I would use fresh corn, and then I would actually take the back of a knife
and cream
the corn myself. In the restaurant, we do use cream corn, just to give it a little bit more.
And I'm a purist of doing it yourself, but I think that's fine to...
Absolutely.
To get the
I mean,
cream
in
corn
essence,
like that.
That's what they're doing anyway when they
right.
make the cream corn. It's just saving you a little bit of arm strength.
All right, so that's going to cook up. Then what's going to happen next?
We're going to simmer this. We're going to add some seasoning. And then we're going to saute some of these beautiful Gulf shrimp. They're completely fresh. You can always tell when they're fresh because their whiskers stay on it.
Yep.
If they're frozen shrimp, the whiskers are the first things to leave.
Yep.
whenever they freeze them.
And by the way, you could, if you were me, do something like grill or fry the whole shrimp and eat that shrimp head. And that's that is one of the most delicious things on the shrimp.
That's where the flavor's
at. Right there. That's where the flavor's at,
That's where the flavor's at.
All right, so what are we going to do with it?
So now we have three components. We have cheesy grits, which I made. I don't have the recipe. We're not going to make that because grits take too long.
And I've got a cheese grit recipe on the website, so people can go to that.
You can find them at any website. We have our mock shoe, and we have our shrimp. So in essence, what we're going to do now is we're going to bring this whole dish together. We are going to add some mock shoe to the pan here at Sizzle. We're going to add some grits to the pan.
Are those your grits?
Yes, sir. No. Are you kidding
Thank
me?
Thank you. Yeah, of course.
Are you kidding me? And then we're going to saute.
Who would use that?
And then we're going to saute some of these fresh Gulf shrimp.
All right, so those shrimp are going to get sauteed separately. You're going to heat up the grits and the mock shoe together. And I bet you're going to plate that, and we're going to have a fantastic meal.
We're going to put those shrimp right on top of the grits, and there you go. Shrimp and grits.
So with that, Kevin, what do you think?
Well, would anybody like to try it?
Damn.
All right, there we go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a couple of very special things to hand out. It's a very, very special thing. First and foremost, he's been a friend of mine for 5 years. He has been the chef de fou for 3 years. And, you know, he has been the executive chef now for Chef and the Fat Man for one whole day. So what better thing to do than to celebrate his one-day anniversary of Chef and the Fat Man's executive chef with a king cake.
Wow, look at that. That doesn't look like just any king cake, though.
It is what?
That's a red velvet cream cheese stuffed king cake from Rouse's.
And let me say this, Renee, I am sorry, but I have the beautiful Queen Ashley, who is Queen Guinevere of King Arthur 34. She is to present. She is going to slice the cake and present it to you now. I have buried the baby somewhere in that cake. Are you going to be the one?
Yeah, I don't know, but
that
looks absolutely delicious. Yes, yes, sir.
Chef, the Papa of Peppers has a presentation for Executive Chef Chad Richardson of 424. Chef Chad, we wanted to give you something of equal quality. Papa is presenting you with a can of Varsity Chili.
The Varsity.
From the Varsity Hot Dog Stand in Atlanta, Georgia.
Beautiful.
I'm all about that right there.
Hey, I'm having a moment here. I think that the red velvet cake is beautiful, but man, Queen Guinevere is pretty amazing too. So thank you very much. And
wait a minute, this must be a royal proclamation.
Okay, please.
I knight you the new that chef.
Wow.
Sir Eric!
Yes, sir.
Of Hold Nothing!
Of Hold Nothing. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. There we go. And I think we're going to make some of these available as well, because this looks really...
Well, you know, my friends...
It looks absolutely delicious.
It is rather tragic. Tragic for you, but not tragic for us. The show must come to an end. We are so honored to have been here. Compliments to the Hotel Monteleone, the Carousel Bar. We are so honored to have had the king and queen of this year's crew of King Arthur and last year's queen and her very good-looking boyfriend, Sir Toby.
Hey.
It has been a great, great honor to be here. So many people to thank.
Thank you.
I would like to thank, of course, the Creole Cuisine Group and our good buddy. He is an awesome chef. Give it up for Executive Chef Chad Richardson. Also, to the King and Queen of Crew of King Arthur.
Yay!
Woo! Woo! And to the previous Queen of King Arthur, we're sucking up to everybody.
Yay! the royal wave.
To Andrea Thornton, to Gary Schwartz, Marvelous Marvin, Jose, the manager, who's the rather stunning gentleman walking around. we thank you so much. To the newest executive chef of Chef of the Fat Man, Eric, with a cake and a mouthful of king cake. Hold on.
Thank you very much. This is good, by
the way. To Papa Peppers, sous chef and assistant and photographer extraordinaire, his lovely wife, Deanne, who have made it possible for you to get the great pictures and see our wonderful website, The Stocks.
Yeah.
Chef of the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, has been presented by the Big Green Egg,
the ultimate cooking experience.
By Real Sweet Onions, Schumann Produce, Fee Brothers Bitters, the Hotel Monteleone, and Operation Homefront. In this most festive time, we always like to take a moment at the end of the show to recognize our troops and our first responders, for they are the reasons that we enjoy the freedoms we enjoy so much. The price of freedom has never and will never be
free.
So, before we extinguish the flames of the mobile kitchens of Chef of the Fat Man, we please remind you to renew your soul. Come down to New Orleans. We're waiting with open arms and open containers. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for tuning in. Be safe right here on News Talk 1160 at Talk of the Town. We're out of here. God bless you. God bless our troops. God bless America.